Hello there.
Hey, you're
Hello.
There.
I'm here, and we're far away.
Yeah, let's just try it and see what happens.
Yeah, like most things we do, right?
Whiskey, won't you waken in? Have some fun while you're here. Do you listen? Do you hear? It's coming in loud and clear.
Hey, everybody. This is another edition of our Battle Scars podcast for entrepreneurs. My name is Lee Michaels, and I'm with
Patrick Kellyan. We didn't kick me off yet.
We're doing this podcast remote, just with the holidays and everything going on. We thought we would try it and try some new technology. Just a little background for those of you who don't know who we are or why we feel like we're qualified to talk about this entrepreneur stuff. Patrick and I are co-founders of the Archer Group, which was a Wilmington, Delaware based digital agency, which started in 2003 in a basement. And we grew it to a 70 person agency with billings over $10 million by the time we both stepped away in 2011 and sold it to our business partners. Patrick and I have both continued being entrepreneurs after the Archer Group. But the stories of our successes, our failures, our laughs and battle scars are ones we retell often. And we get a lot of enjoyment out of that. And people seem to enjoy hearing, how did we do this or how did we survive that? So we hope that by doing this podcast, other entrepreneurs or budding entrepreneurs will better understand how to take that leap. Because we feel like we got a lot out of it personally and professionally.
Yeah. And unlike a lot of entrepreneurs, we're still talking to each other 10 years later. So that's a good thing. We didn't want to talk to each other half the time when we were together, but no, there are a lot of great memories that we can share in stories, and hopefully people will learn from that here.
Yeah, I think some of my best times were when we actually shared an office, because we got so packed in the offices that our desks had to be in the same room. So
yeah,
that was interesting.
Yeah. And then when we finally split up and had separate offices, that actually became that was a different time. That was, I do miss those days. I do miss those days.
Well, what we want to talk about today, with it being the holidays, not sure when you're actually going to be listening to this, but Christmas and many of the other end of year holidays are right here around the corner. And so that was something we wanted to talk about, because there were a lot of decisions that went into how we handle things. So things such as how do we reward the employees with some year end bonus or whatever, or how do we have an employee party, or how do we thank our clients, for a great year, and what are we allowed to do, and what can we do? So I just thought it'd be good for us to talk about that, the holidays and how we went through it. And I'm going to start on the bonus conversation, Patrick. Right?
So, you know, when you first said this, like when we talked about bonus, I go, man, that guy's pretty cold. But you were right.
So I will start with the statement of a bonus is a bonus. But it quickly gets to become an expectation. And before Archer, I was with a company that I was one of the owners of. And we had a great year one year, and we were able to reward our employees around the holidays with some nice bonuses. And it was a surprise. It was the first year we had done that. And then we felt really good about that. And they felt really good about that, a lot of goodwill. The following year, we grew considerably. We did not have as great a year, particularly when you look at it on a per employee bonus or per employee profit. But we tried to give what we could, and we gave a little more than what we could, but it wasn't as much as what we gave the prior year. And it became a real negative. It became something that the company, we had to have meetings over. And you could say, well, they're not mature or whatever, but they thought they were going to get X dollars, and they got, I'll say half X dollars the following year. And they're saying, I worked just as hard, or if not harder, and why am I not getting as much as I got the prior year? And so that was something that always stuck in my head. And when we were trying to figure out how to reward our employees, when it was just like five of us or six of us, I was really adamant to not do cash bonuses.
Yeah. And what was interesting is, depending on the employee's background, they either came in with it as an expectation or not. And you had had that experience before. So we definitely were deferring to you, and we just didn't have the money, which was also a hard part. But the, I was always constantly concerned about what was in the minds of the employees. Are they going to leave us all next week? And I was overly concerned about that, where I should have just been focused on just getting the work, or doing the work and doing the best that I could. But I was constantly concerned about that. And it comes to a height with bonuses, because, you know, it's weird. Our industries have now come to a expectation of that, but it doesn't have to be. And it didn't have to be that way.
It definitely was, like, prior to me coming into the advertising world, I had not been in an industry that had bonuses. But there are plenty of others, and Delaware is very heavy in the banking industry now. There are plenty that came from the banking industry where it was like 30% of their take home was a bonus, a one-time annual bonus. So for some, it was a huge number. And I remember when we were negotiating with the employees, like, you know, that, like, for individual employees, what are they going to, you know, what's their salary going to be that year? Yeah, we wouldn't talk about a bonus because we didn't know what we were going to have, and it's difficult.
Yeah, it's interesting. Even today, I received a job verification letter for one of our employees from a bank. He's buying a house, and there's a line item for expected bonus for this year. It's like, really? Oh my gosh, this is actually built into this. Yeah, it's very strange. But you know what is one of the more interesting things? And when you and I were talking about this not too long ago, I can remember every gift that we gave as bonuses. I can't remember the cash that came out. And I know at the time, cash is king. Like, you have to pay mortgages and all that kind of stuff. But looking back on the whole thing, it's just, I remember the very first gift. It was a big round speaker that you put your iPod in. And it was great. Right. And it was like, everyone wrapped it up and everyone was really excited about it and they were thankful. And we laughed about it and we had it. And, it even became a collector's item after a while. Like, I've got every bonus gift that we had, and they got better and better. We were more creative with it. It was really good. Even when we were at 45 people, I think you have the picture of 45 iPads that were sitting there that got a lot of headway. I don't even think we gave any cash until 5 years in, or maybe, I don't know, not even ourselves.
And there comes a time where cash is definitely simpler. But like you said, it's not something that people remember, you know, years later. And so we did work really hard to try and come up with something. But how do you come up with something that everybody is going to be interested in? And, you know, when you're small, you kind of have similar interests and stuff. But as you get to be a bigger company, there are people that speaker probably is worthless to, you know. Yeah. And so then all of a sudden you're giving them a negative or something. Or, you know, you're going to give them a jelly of the month club or something, and, you know, hope that that's what they like. So it's definitely something that I know us as owners, we spent a lot of time trying to think about it. And I think if we didn't have, if we just did cash, it would have been an easier thing to think about.
There might be a time for it. Like, you know, a salesperson that has to meet a certain quota, and they meet that quota, then there's an expectation of a bonus because they met that. But that's something that's decided before on salary. But I think you're right when you go back to your quote, that mantra that you kept going over, a bonus is a bonus. Think about the word. It's a bonus, right? Kind of thing. And I think that was always interesting. Do you remember when we did start getting cash bonuses?
I don't, but I think it was after the I'll call it the Oprah moment, the iPad. When did we start? Do you know?
I think it was right after that. Apple stopped doing as many products. We didn't know what else to give out. But I thought it was the strangest feeling, because basically we just chose a random number of, I think it was like $100,000, which was more money than I had ever thought of. And we just went down like, all right, how's this sound? And just divvied it up. There was no scientific, oh, that person did really performed, or, you know, that kind of stuff. I didn't feel right. It was weird, but I guess everybody was very thankful, but I don't
know. And I know I tried to write notes to some of the key people that I had a lot of contact with, and one came up to me after we did that, and he said the money is great and thank you very much for that, but he said the note meant so much to me.
Yeah.
And I thought that was, you know, again, that was, it's not a monetary thing, but it's just a way to try and thank them and give them specifics on how much I appreciated what they were doing. I would love to go back and talk about the iPad one, cause I thought that was a little bit of a funny story.
Yeah. Go ahead. Tell it.
So iPads were just coming out and we had racked up a hellish amount of points on our credit card. I think it was Amex.
Oh, I forgot about this.
And so I think it was our CFO at the time, Tim was our controller or whatever he was talking, like trying to figure out our points, or maybe it was you trying to figure out our points and how to convert them to Apple. And then it was such a large order with Apple, it was a special order. And I think we had to do it mail order. I can't remember if we even had Apple stores at that time, but there was enough rumors and offices are just ripe with rumors. And I'm sure working from home is ripe with rumors as well. we did a pretty good job on keeping it quiet, but we had to like move some major stuff because it was like 45 iPads that we were moving into the building. And we had to have enough, we had enough points to get, I think, half of the iPads or something. Like, it was, like I said, it was a hellish number of points. And there was a rumor that we got a G6 airplane.
Yeah.
I don't know how that rumor got anywhere, because it wasn't
with
like we were
1,000 points.
It wasn't like we were traveling anywhere a lot by plane. Like it was an absolute, I firmly believe that gossips fill the vacuum when a business doesn't share information. Yeah. And I think that, like, it was just running. And I thought when I heard that, I was like, you guys are kidding, right? Like, we didn't get an airplane. Like, but that rumor somehow got some legs to it. And I remember we put all them in the conference room. We took unwrapped the major box, but they're all in their individual boxes, and like stacked them kind of haphazard in the conference room. And we slid the door open, but we were playing the song Fly Like a G6. All over when they came in. I think it was one of those, it was one of those moments that I felt really proud that we were able to do.
Yeah. Well, don't think that I didn't try to look into actually getting a G6. maybe that's where the rumor started.
Well, I guess you were taking flying lessons too. Yeah. Maybe not at that time, but yeah, that was one of the funniest. I don't know how that ever became something serious, but
yeah, it was interesting. Like these moments also became good PR moments for, I don't know if we intended, because we were genuinely about wanting to give something away, but word got out that we were giving thoughtful gifts or something that were.
Yeah, it, absolutely. Cause it showed up in my Facebook feed and as a memory, and I went looking and there were a lot of comments on it, and there were quite a few comments that were just saying, you know, are you hiring or I can't wait?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but yeah, I think it was, again, like you said, I couldn't tell you what we've given anybody from a money perspective as a bonus. I couldn't tell you what I've gotten as bonuses in the past. Mm-hmm. But you know, that one stuck out to me.
It doesn't mean that cash isn't important, because it is, and it's real and it's something there, but, the stories don't really necessarily, come from that. As with most things in life, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I do agree with you that I think there's an individual performance bonus that you can work in and for based on if, you know, what they are contributing directly to the bottom line. So based on their productivity or hours built or something like that. But that should almost be I would put that in a different category over a bonus. And I would like to think that the bonus would be largely based on the performance of the overall company. And then you're kind of finding out, how do I divvy that up so that it's meaningful to everybody?
Yeah. One of the things that I always remember about the holidays, and I called them holidays in hell when my wife would ask, like, oh, here Patrick goes, he's going to get into the space because it always became very stressful for a number of reasons. And you were really good. And I remember wanting to start our Christmas cards in August. You said, if we don't do this now, it's just going to be hell getting to it. And of course I'd delay. And sure enough, it would be holidays in hell because we're trying to deliver things quickly, but also all, you know, all the other preparations that you have to do for year end planning, for taxes and all that kind of thing. It is not necessarily the easiest thing to do. And adding bonuses on was always the more difficult. Doing it again right now, if I could get a better picture as to what we were going to give bonuses further ahead, so I wasn't scrambling to figure out how much money this was going to cost us, I think it would make it a lot easier.
In our industry, and probably in most industries, there's a milestone at year end. For us, clients were trying to get us to do work so that they could invoice us for that work. And they weren't allowed to, some of the clients couldn't invoice us until we had delivered the work. And so we were jammed. Like we were constantly, everybody was trying to get their projects done because our clients needed their projects by year end. And some had some public, like that they're being published before year end. And so it definitely was a challenge. I think the earlier, the better. And I think cash makes it easy because you're just figuring out the calculation and you can do that hopefully in an afternoon or something. But if you are trying to get something, particularly with like a logo on it, or hell, this year with the global sourcing issues, trying to get anything, you always want more time.
Yeah. We were trying to get Compass Red jerseys made, and they only came in like pink or green. So be it. We got to do it.
Compass Green.
I changed the name of the company because of the pandemic. So you touched on something about with clients and things, and getting client gifts. There's a few stories around that one. I do remember. I remember getting letters from some of our biggest clients saying, thank you for your generosity, but we're not allowed to accept any gifts over $25.
Right. Right.
Do you remember the formal letters?
Yeah. So you might take them out to lunch or whatever, but I always had a goal of, and we had clients that were in the pharma space and they have trinkets galore and that they're giving out to doctors and stuff like that. So it was like, how do we compete with that? And, I always had a goal of coming up with something that would sit on their desk, like that would, or something that they would continue to use again.
This brings back great memories.
And so we would, like, I think one year we came up with those conversation starter cards. They had business ones.
I still use them today. Yeah.
and so they were like something that hopefully that could sit in a conference room or sit, in a waiting area or on somebody's desk, and our name was on the other, on one side, and it was a real nice Lucite case, and I thought they were, they were real thoughtful. I thought so. I think we had some discussion internally as to whether we should do them or not, but it was something that we tried to, again, try to get onto their desk and try to and something that would be good for them year round.
Yeah, and then we had I remember receiving the call back from the big pharma saying, I use those cards in interviews to kind of lighten the mood a little bit.
That's cool.
Yeah. So even today, like I said, we pull it out when the conversation gets dry. Where are my Archer cards? It's really good stuff. Another piece of this whole thing is the delivery of it.
I want
you to tell that story because you're better at telling that than I am.
Which one?
This is the one. Okay, so we gave the procedure. So basically, we had three levels of gifts, and this is a story that probably shouldn't get out, but we're going to do it anyways. It's three levels of gifts, right? Like, it had the ones where you kind of knew them, you kind of worked closely with them, but not really. So they get a towel, and then the second level, and I don't remember what it was. And then there was a third level, which sort of like we were giving gifts to the employees. We gave $10 bag 1 year.
Right.
And we had a very large financial institution for a client, and we gave the a list to our intern, and we said, go hand this to the client, but make sure you give them to them individually, because you don't want some to see that they're getting the bags and the other one the dish towel. And unfortunately, the intern couldn't get through I don't know if it was, they couldn't get through security. And so he or she gave the list and all the gifts to the security person and said, can you hand this to someone? Oh, wait, you're going to have to beat that out because I don't want that name in there. But it didn't go as well as you had possibly. And the delivery just killed it because some people found out that they were only getting the hand towels and the other ones found out they were getting the really nice bags. God, that was great. God,
yeah, those were some tough ones.
But the point is like the delivery. Like it's important.
Yeah, and how you do that, obviously sending an intern over might not have been our best move, but but like back to the note with the bonus, you know, telling the client thank you, you know, sharing this with them. I remember one year we had like private label bottles of wine that we gave out. Yeah. And, one year we did, it was like martini glasses with our logo on them. And I just remember trying to pack them. And we had like, you know, major events of all of us just sitting there trying to pack these things. Cause again, you're running late on time. And so then you look around the room and you've got 30 billable employees sitting there stuffing paper into a box just so you can mail this thing out because you were trying to save $5, you know, on something else and having it shipped to you. But I think, you know, putting those, trying to get something that is unique to your brand, something that's a little different and something that isn't going to kill you to get it to them, I think is pretty key.
Yeah. I guess with all these things, you know, around the holidays, it's special time, but these are touch points that can mean a lot historically, like that even 20 years later, you're talking about. And as painful as it is, because I still struggle with like, all right, I got to think about this, whatever. As painful it is, it could be one of the most important defining points to your brand or to your person or to your company, whether it be employees or even clients or friends of the company. So you should really take advantage of it.
Yeah. And I think it's one of those instances where it's you, the person, are interacting with them, the person, and saying thank you. And those personal efforts that you do, you know, build your brand or build your credibility. And like I remember there was a client that, you know, we would go out to dinner and, you know, she loved a good wine dinner or a BYO. And I just remember, like, I looked forward to those opportunities as well. And we wouldn't talk any business at all, probably, maybe a tiny bit. But, you know, I think my wife was with me there for most of them. Okay. So it's not like we were talking work, but it just, you got to know each other as a person. And you got to understand that it's not all business. And so, you know, if they've got to make decisions on who to work with, and we all, you know, there's people we like working with and there's people we don't. And, you know, given the choice, we're going to reach out to the one we like working with first. And so I think that, that really, you know, that those opportunities to get together with them, can mean a lot to your brand and to define who you are.
Yeah. Yeah. And something's going to screw up someday. It's going to be you're going to miss a deadline. You know, hopefully not, but it's going to happen. Your product's going to fail or something will happen someday. And the more that you have that personal relationship of knowing their kids or going for a run, the easier it is to be able to handle those situations because they're going to remember that you're a person too and not just someone, a vendor credit or a vendor.
And if they know that you care as much about them as they do, or, you know, they know that you care about them, that you're not just trying to screw them over. You're not just trying to take advantage of them. This is something that was, you know, hopefully out of your control. Or I think Tom Peters said it's you should screw up every now and then just so you can show how well you can respond and win people over by how well you recover from those things. And I think that if you have that relationship with that person and they trust you, you can have those tough talks.
Yeah, genuinely.
Yeah.
I have one last question for you to remember. Like, you know, being an entrepreneur is really hard. As we talked about, that's why we're doing this thing. How did you enjoy the holidays? You It was always stressful for me. You know, you have family. You're always worried about what do the next 6 months look like. Even the sure. next month, do you have enough revenue coming in? Sometimes you do, most times you don't. How did you just sit back and enjoy it? Like, what did you have any tricks that you did? I mean, you would laugh all the time. It was and then awesome because you're probably making fun of me in some way or another, rightfully. But like, how did you enjoy it? How do you enjoy it now?
I think things slow down a little bit. I think it, at least in our at that business, generally there was more money coming in. There was chances of more money coming in than not. So the money issues kind of got resolved a little bit. I can't point to anything particular, but I really did enjoy going out. It was an opportunity to get out and hang out with clients or partners and meet with them on a social angle and just sort of catch up with each other and just sort of celebrate each other. And I always enjoyed that. Like I'm thinking about, you know, we would grab lunch with our attorney or with our banker, you know, those sorts of things. I definitely enjoyed those. How about you?
It was really hard for me the first few years, and still is today in some ways. But what you said, you know, one thing I find myself saying, you look historically back and you're right. When you just said it slows down a bit, if you know it's going to slow down, you just realize you're in a slowdown moment and you'll get through it. And the next month it'll get really, really busy. So if you don't enjoy this period right now, you're not going to. I think that's just the realization. It was just really hard at times for me, like just to take a pause. I think I'm doing it better now because I'm getting older and you've gone through these cycles and all that kind of stuff. But I don't know. It was always still super stressed around the holidays. But then if you just take a second, watch it snow or look out the window or, like you said, really listen genuinely, like, how's your life going to the client or to the employee? I had lunch with an employee today and she was explaining how they celebrate their Christmases and that kind of thing. And just listen. You know, it's just, you're like, wow, that's cool. And I think those are the small moments to enjoy it. But it is stressful at times.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I enjoyed the, I'm not going to get it told. 1 year we all brought in like craft beer and we did kind of a craft beer exchange. And it's like we all brought beers into the conference room and then we all sort of loaded up and made a mix pack of what we had. And I like when I really enjoy the times when we as a company can kind of step away from the work and maybe stay at work. And we always like to design our offices so that they could be casual. We had the putting green in the floor out in front of our area. We were told that our front office, our lobby looks like a bar.
We had a bar, a kegerator, a wine cooler, a pool table. What do you mean it sort of felt like a bar?
but letting us all just sort of hang out there and just catch up or just, you know, like not really pressured, it's not a meeting, there's not an agenda, it's not like we have to do icebreakers or something. It's just, you know, we're all sitting there because we got pizza or we're all sitting there because we had a catering, something happen. And you can just sort of catch up with somebody and talk to them. And because you don't get to do that much, you know, as you get to be a bigger company, you're talking about tasks, you're on to the next thing. And I think those moments where you could just sit down as a group and just all kind of collectively relax. I really enjoyed those moments as well.
Yeah. This is the ones I remember. You find out something about someone that you just didn't know.
Right. Like they're an author or they, like I found out recently that one of our employees now does a podcast, a weekly podcast for, the Philadelphia Eagles or support of football. And I was like, wow, I didn't know that, you know?
And that's
neat stuff.
Yeah.
What about holiday parties?
Oh, well, in the very beginning, you know, I think we were coming off the Mad Men area, or at least wishing we were, or whatever, and they were fun. Sometimes they got a little out of control. I do remember one where we had worked for a restaurant that we took food credits for. And you found out that they weren't going to be in business too much longer. So we said, let's have our holiday party right away there. And We certainly used it. How about you? Do you remember the holiday parties you remember, or even thinking about them?
The one that I'm not going to say I like the most, but the one that has the strongest memory to me is the one that we did up at the Boathouse Row.
Yeah, there's a video of that somewhere. I know.
Yeah, of you and I doing karaoke. And But what I liked about that one was everybody got to get involved, and like we didn't just turn it over to one person to do the party. It was like one person had the connection to the boathouse, another person was helping figure out the food, and there were definitely some key players there. But it became a company party, not just somebody's organizing one party. Yeah. And we had karaoke there. I think we had a band there.
Yeah.
Or was it just karaoke? It might have been a band there. But like, I would say we were probably 30 people at that time, if I had to guess.
Yeah. It felt like a lot bigger. I remember dressing up for it. Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. People got dressed up. And are you guys doing anything now for holiday parties?
A lot of it's online. Like right now in the pandemic, where we are is that second variants coming out, and so people are just concerned. And so some of us will get together. We have the White Elephant gift exchange kind of thing through video, which is a lot of fun. I mean, there's a lot of shipping involved and that kind of stuff, but you know, all those small things that we can do as a team together is important. It really is harder now with COVID, but you know, even the special moments of what are you going to wear and all that kind of stuff, it works out well. And then we'll have a lunch, and whoever can make it and those who can't, we understand, you know. How about you? You guys got to have something fun going on.
Nah, well, again, we're being in hospitality. We're kind of jamming through the end of the year. So we try to do something in like February and, have when we can sort of relax a little more. But with us, we're kind of distributed across some major geography. So, one of the things that when I was thinking about the holiday parties is like, you got to understand that, if you're going to take your entire team to New York and their spouses for something, or Atlantic City, like that's a logistics nightmare on them if they have kids or if they have animals, or, you know, the other employee may have to, the spouse or partner may have to take off from their work. And so my recommendation would be to try to keep your focus on having fun and try to really understand the logistics that you're putting people through. Cause I remember sometimes we would have dinners up in Philly and that was great, you know, and it would be, the employees and their spouses and, you know, but if, as it gets big, you know, you start to, it gets really difficult for everybody to do. And then it becomes a negative, sort of a negative thing. Like, oh, we got to go to the company dinner.
Yeah. Yeah. The opportunity to meet the spouses was always fun because it brought a different dynamic to the whole thing. And then you start to see people even relax more.
That was definitely great. It definitely did.
Yeah.
So that's all I had for, dealing with the holidays. One of the things you always did was you tried to map out, like you were big on New Year's, like here are my goals for the year.
Wow. Yeah. That should be a whole nother podcast.
Well, maybe we can in January, we can do that.
Let's do that.
Planning your vision for the year. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. That's great. Wow.
So.
Well, good. Well, just remember these holiday moments are the ones that define you as a company and that you can remember longer. And it's never going to be easy, but you got to force yourself to enjoy it.
Yeah. And you should focus on the enjoyment. You should focus on how do I make this fun? How do I make this enjoyable for everybody? So.
Yeah. Yeah. Great.
Awesome. Well, I will talk to you later then.
Yeah. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.